This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
Triple Bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging, and to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people who are listening today. We acknowledge that this land was never ceded, no treaty was ever signed, and that it always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
On this episode of Triple Bypass, we'll be joined by Grace and Archie, the dynamic duo and co-founders of Queertown, a brand new Australia social media, media hub for all things queer and Australian, made by and for the LGBTIQA+ community. And as always, we'll be bringing you the latest news, conversations and updates from the biosphere.
All that and more coming up on the show that puts the B in LGBTIQA Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
And now this is In or Out by Anna DeFranco.
Knows where to begin. I've got more than one membership, more than one club, and I owe my life to the people that I love. He looks me up and down like he knows what time it is, like he's got my number, like he thinks it's his. He says, call me Mr. Franco if there's anything I can do. I say, it's Mr. Franco to you. The line I walk turns out to be straight. Other days the line tends to deviate. I've got no criteria for sex or race. I just wanna hear your voice. I just wanna see your face. She looks me up and down like she thinks that I'm mature, like she's got my number, like it belongs to her. She says, call me Ms. DeFranco if there's anything I can do. I say, I've got spots, I've got stripes too. They're all asking, are you in or are you out? And I think, oh man, what is this about? I mean, tonight you can't put me up on any shelf, cause I came here alone and I'm gonna leave by myself. I just wanna show you the way that I feel, and when I get tired you can take the wheel. To me what's more important is the person that I bring, not just getting to the same restaurant and eating the same thing. Wrong with me, guess I don't fit in. No one wants to touch it, no one knows where to begin. I've got more than one membership, more than one club, and I owe my life to people that I love.
Hi, I'm Mara Wilson, former child actor, current writer, aspiring bicon, and you are listening to the show that puts the B in LGBTIQ. Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
That's right. It is the home of Melbourne's deadly bipans. The bisexuals are taking over the airwaves and are here to bring you your weekly dose of bi plus community goodness. I'm Ruby.
I'm Andrew.
And thanks, a huge thanks to Miranda and the team at Geeks Out. I think they're talking mostly about Avengers, I'm guessing.
Is there anything else to talk about right now?
Game of Thrones, I've heard from my Twitter highlights.
No spoilers. Please.
I promise I have not watched it for a long time. I don't have that level of attention span, even with my love of dragons. Anyway, coming up on the show, we'll be speaking with Grace and Archie, so the co-founders of Queer Town, which is a new online hub for that's going to be packed full of diverse Australian-focused LGBTIQA+ digital media with videos and podcasts and writing and artwork created for and by the queer community here. And I'm really excited to have a chat with them. But, of course, if you want to have a chat with us, you can get in touch any time during the show by emailing us at onair@joy.org.au or texting on 0427 569 949.
You can hit us up on Facebook, Triple Bypass on Joy, Twitter, Triple Bypass, Instagram, Triple Bypass Joy, or email us at any time, triplebypass@joy.org.au.
You can also find this episode and more on podcast form on iTunes and Spotify, and where all good podcasts are available.
And it's so lovely to hear. I'll cop to listening back to the podcasts because I like hearing my voice on the internet.
It's a good radio voice, as we've been told by every guest we've brought in for the last 3 weeks. It's sultry.
Please, validate me.
Of course, we'll be starting this show, as we always do, by bringing you some bi news that's been happening around the globe. Now, while there hasn't been as much new releases of data that I've been able to find, there has been a lot of discussion happening in some of the online bi hubs that I frequent about an article that was published on bisexual.org originally that set up a lot of discussion, because the article was titled, "Considering bisexual people make up the majority of LGBTI people, why is there no bi community?" And this was drawing attention to the fact that even though there's no research that has ever asked a bi person if they have a bisexual friend or family member, a report by the Equality Network called Complicated did find that 85% of bi plus people did not feel like they were part of a bisexual community. And so the writer of this article was saying that we need to understand that the problem is different, that we're not forced to make community, because for lesbian and gay people, they have to find community to be able to find each other. But we don't face that same kind of challenge in the sense that we can still date without having to go into those spaces. And so if we can understand that it's not the same force, maybe we can help that with future efforts. But other bi advocates were quick to argue, both through posts, but also through article form, which is such an interesting discourse, and advocates are sending out, like, publishing different articles in, like, a conversation with each other.
It's fantastic to see.
It's so great and nerdy. But they were saying that there is a bi plus community, and that community has enormous benefits. And so I suppose I've been curious as to, you know, there obviously is a difference in bi community spaces and in mainstream LGBTIQA plus spaces. And, of course, there's also online communities, which we talked about last week. So I suppose, what do you think some of the obstacles have been for finding our community? Is it because we don't seek it out? Is it because we're less likely to come out? Only about a third of us are actually out as bisexual. Maybe that's got something to do with it.
Yeah, there's a bunch of things that come to mind. One is that there are fewer visual indicators, and that's something we were talking about a bunch last week. But another thing...
How is that? The cuff jeans, bad puns and finger guns?
That's exactly it. But another thing that could be contributing is that big, terrifying spectre that hangs over us all of heteronormativity. The pressure...
It's like a dementor. It just sucks all the fun out of everything.
It really does. The pressure to kind of conform to a heteronormative relationship, to not explore or embrace your bisexuality, can kind of erase that identity in community.
And also, I suppose sometimes when we might seek out communities that are, you know, use the acronym, so, and say, well, there's a B there, I'm part of that, I can go here, and don't necessarily find it as welcoming. We've talked about that before as well, which can kind of, you know, block help-seeking or community-seeking behaviours if you start to... There's a part of you that you're not certain about, and the minute you start to try and explore it or ask questions about it, it gets shut down quite quickly. I think it's hard to think of that part of yourself as something people could even build a community around, maybe?
Yeah, being a marginalized kind of person or marginalized segment of the community can kind of act as a stumbling block for connecting with others, and coming from, as so many bi folk do, coming from a position of trauma or a position of being unwell, can...
Of chronic social anxiety.
And, of course, the classic bi... by identifier identity marker of the social anxiety gets in the way of us forming community. It's kind of hard to say, and I'm keen to see more research that emerges over time on on the different bisexual community. I'm also super keen to get deep in on these articles that you've been going through.
Oh, well, it's been a lifetime's work. A few years anyway. I think one of the most interesting points I found was an incredible bi activist on Twitter was talking about how, given that we actually still are having people debate if bisexuality exists or not, despite there being decades of organisations and institutions and representation at Pride and Mardi Gras and for years and years and years, given that it's still really not considered to be real, how do people find community when they maybe often wouldn't even think of that part of themselves as real? Because you can't have a community around something that doesn't exist. Of course, that we do. We're right here talking to each other and are full in a little studio, just full of bisexual energy.
So full of that bisexual dynamic energy. That's what BD
signal
is
so
right?
Strong. Big bi energy. And so what else have we found on some online articles?
Well, it's... we had such a dry news week, and it's a bit of a shame, but there was this really interesting Ask Men article that pointed out that bisexual men don't usually have it very easy when it comes to dating. This article pointed out that 63% of women had said that they wouldn't date a man who had slept with another man, including those who'd experimented with guys, not just men who openly identify as bisexual, while, ironically, 47% of women had... said that they'd been attracted to other women before. This article went into depth interviewing seven women from across the United States about their experiences dating bi men. Kat said that what she likes about dating openly bi and pansexual men is that they tend to have examined their sexuality and image in a way that heterosexual men tend not to. And Gabby said that she liked dating bi men specifically because they don't have any hang-ups over, or they have fewer hang-ups over gender identity, since she's trans, and there's usually this underlying thing when dating heterosexual men.
Yeah, I think there's, we actually had, it must have been over a year ago now, so there's an incredible academic in Australia called Maria Perotta-Tiroli who wrote a book called Bi Men, Bi Women, and that was so B-I Men, B-Y Women. So it was women who had relationships with bisexual men. And generally, yeah, they were finding that women who were dating men who were open and proud of their bisexuality were generally more likely to be sharing in domestic jobs, more likely to be, like, sharing child-raising, more likely to be open sexually. And so I thought that was really... It's really interesting because I do think that there was another article a little while ago... I've read so many articles... that was talking about how one of the issues is, of course, any sign of femininity in men means they're quickly put into the gay category. And so given that a lot of bi plus men will... as we've talked about with other researchers, will tend to make an effort to appear or to, like, choose clothing and looks that are a little more effeminate, means they're very quickly coded as gay. And because we've had in our history, because of criminalization and huge stigma, gay men who were married to women and then came out later in life, and there's often this huge fear that men can't, once they've crossed that line of showing any femininity, it's not possible for them to be with a woman because masculinity has to be there to... It's just, it's weird. It doesn't make any sense to me as someone who considers gender as a very fluid, flexible rainbow spectrum of everything.
Fluffy clouds of gender. It's interesting. Like,
I want that on a t-shirt. My gender is a fluffy cloud.
Excellent. my experience of my bisexuality is one in which my... understanding of the definitions and lines between genders and between sexualities just broke down completely. And I was like, well, okay, I guess that's how we are now.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting point. Well, we're going to be talking more after the break with Archie and Grace about Queertown, which is a startup they both started, I think, earlier this year. I'm getting some good nods. Excellent. Which is going to be an online hub of Australian-focused LGBTIQA plus digital media. And but one of the song that's coming up, which is 2000 or whatever, by Electric Fields, which is the song they put together as their entrance in Eurovision. I don't think they didn't win, but it is a banging tune, and it was played live at Gay Times, and Archie and I just found out that we both were watching it, though Archie was way up the front and I was way up the back under the marquee.
But you shared your tears.
We shared our tears because it was incredible, and I hope you all enjoy it. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to Triple Bypass on Joy.
It's my blend with the eyes of a panther. With your cosmic skin and a celestial dancer. Ooh, yes, I know this by now, your energy is loud. I've been knocking you directly when I see you in the crowd. Holy love.
wake up from the paranoid place, spinning in and out of space. Anamor to Istanbul,
millennia.
Like an old poem with light beating edges. Ooh, you should know this by now. Your spirit is a glow. I'll be knocking you directly when I see it. I'll show.
I got very excited talking about Eurovision off air, so I almost missed to come back. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9, and that was 2000 and whatever by Electric Fields. And we were talking about it very excitedly because it's such a good track. And I'm Ruby.
I'm Andrew.
And you're back on Triple Bypass, and we're here to put the B in LGBTIQA+, but also a P for pan, a P for polysexual, an O for omnisexual, ooh, Q for questioning, Q for queer, and an E for everybody, because we don't like gatekeeping.
No gatekeeping.
Anyone can
here.
Join if you happened to. And you can also get in touch with us.
You can get in touch with us on air at joy.org.au or that phone number that I've forgotten.
0427-569-949.
And I'd like to thank Jake, first and foremost, for joining. He's just become a full member of Joy. And
thanks, Jake. You're the best.
Yes, you are. And thank Maren for writing in. Big mood of presenting and acting how we want to be. And not gendering gestures, patterns of speech, ways of dressing and acting, etc. Personality traits aren't gendered. My goodness, just read The Left Hand of Darkness by Ursula K. Le Guin. Good book.
Yes.
Which explores the thought experiment of a genderless society. Really recommend. Perceptions and socially constructing ideas serve no one.
I think they do serve a few people, which is why they work so very hard to keep them. But for most of us, no.
Yeah. Toss them in the bin.
Love it. Thank you so much for getting in touch. And we love to hear from you, of course. And so, but we are very excited to introduce our guests this evening, Archie Boulder and Grace Carey. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Now, this dynamic duo are the co-founders of the startup Queertown. Do you like that?
We love it. It's like we're Team Rocket.
It's true. You've got a lot of energy, which is great because obviously I do too, and this whole room's buzzing, and it's great. Anyway, so there, you both started up Queertown, which is not, unfortunately, a commune we can all go and live in, but it is an online destination packed full of diverse, Australian-focused LGBTIQA+ digital media, so videos, podcasts, writing, artwork, and it's all created by queer people for queer people. And in your words, you've said it was, imagine if YouTube, Apple Podcasts and Medium had a queer baby.
It would be us.
Yeah. Think about it.
Currently taking part in ACME Startup Accelerator, Archie and Grace are working hard to ensure every LGBTIQA+ Australian, whether they're metro, regional or remote, can access queer content and queer community in one place. Queertown.com.au.
Bam. There
Bam.
It is. Yeah, thanks for serving it up.
No worries. You're very welcome. Thanks for giving me such a great bio. So, Archie, Grace, so firstly, let's get started. This sounds like an incredible project. What led to you both deciding you wanted to build this? This queer baby mashup of Apple and YouTube.
Oh my gosh, did you say mashed queer baby?
Building a mashed queer baby.
Well, essentially, as I'm sure any listener understands, there is a huge gap in queer digital media, particularly in Australia, because so often when you're searching for content online, it's US-based, it's doom and gloom, it's solely educational, it's completely scattered, or we're just hearing from the same voices over and over and over. Grace and I, we both had different experiences growing up, but digital media for us was like a real opportunity for us to explore our identity and connect with our community. But we were aware that there was a lot of work to be done. So we were lucky enough to meet at the end of last year, and I had a real focus on producing queer content, and Grace was in the beginning of starting a production company.
Yeah, so we joined forces.
So that's the actual queer baby here. It was like the result of both of your current directions just kind of meeting and becoming one part.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. We met through Archie was fangirling over a band that I was managing at the time.
True.
And then just came to every single gig after that, and we got talking, and I found out about Queer Town, and Archie found out about the production company I was starting, and we decided to join forces and create this, I'm going to say, queer baby.
Yeah, it's queer baby. Yeah, we fell madly in love, and so we've just been, working hard.
Yeah. And so that started off in this year. So how far, what have you been? So you're doing this incredible accelerator program. What else have you been doing as you've been building this baby?
I feel like we're doing literally everything all at once at 100%, which has been...
That doesn't sound like queers at all.
No, not at all.
Moderation.
At the minute we're building the business. We're in production for our Queer Town original series. We're looking into curation of other queer content that we can host on the site. And, really just going hard with networking and working out how we can really make this a huge, viable business to get all this content out to every corner of Australia and everyone that needs it.
Yeah, and I mean, we have the big vision of creating this platform, which will be enormous, and we see it as an opportunity for LGBTIQA plus Australians to access their community through what will eventually be this app. But we need to start really small, so it's sustainable, it's scalable. Mm. So we're starting with filming a few video series. Mm. We're starting with growing our team. We just brought on a volunteer, Marcus, if you're
Shout
listening. Hey, Marcus.
We love you.
So just trying to grow and provide opportunities and build some content, build our following online, so that the baby can turn into a big, healthy, queer adult.
Yeah, that's enough.
So what kind of content specifically do you think is missing? So you both mentioned that a lot of the content that already exists is a bit doomy, gloomy. Yeah. But, there are like a lot of... Is it also having content that already exists in one place? Because as you mentioned, Archie, there's so many different places where people might be able to access it, but it can be hard to kind of find them if you're not in the know, or if you don't know the right people, or not in the right Facebook groups, or...
Totally.
Yeah, exactly.
Through our market research, we found that a lot of people were saying they source their LGBTIQA+ content through a trusted source, and a lot of people have said they're too tired now, or they've given up searching for content, so they just wait for that one queer friend in their newsfeed to repost it, and then they'll bother reading it. Yeah. So we want to be that space where it's a trusted source, the content's going to be good. So yeah, we want to bring it, as you say, from different parts of the internet.
And we truly believe that there's not enough diverse and intersectional content out there at the moment. So that's a huge focus of Queer Town, that we want our videos, podcasts, writing and artwork to be inclusive and diverse and intersectional in every possible way, because we truly believe that representation matters, and it's something that's hugely lacking in the current digital media climate.
So what kind of intersectionality is a very obviously a broad area, so are there any particular communities that you're from that you feel aren't being represented properly, or community gaps? Like, for example, I think in Australia it's quite easy to notice that there are huge gaps when it comes to having Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander queer content, though. I think Contagion of Love is doing a lot of work, and Black Rainbow with a particularly with Courtney Act, we're doing a lot of awareness raising with that, with Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, amazing things about that.
Mm-hmm. But I think as well, I think as far as like Chinese Australians can struggle to find community, and Vietnamese Australians and other areas like that. So what are some of your experiences in just noticing a gap that there is nothing that you need for yourself, or that isn't matching your identities?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, as you say, there is content out there, but I suppose what we find is often this intersectional, in quotation marks, content is often pitched at people outside of that community to educate them, or the kind of tone of this content is assimilation and how, we, you know, all lives matter. And we're like, well, where's the content that goes beyond just describing, this is what it means for me to be a trans person of colour, for example.
Yeah.
What about just like going beyond that? What are your life experiences? What do you do? What are you passionate about? What are you great at?
How can we highlight you in a way that's celebrating who you are rather than just how you identify?
Or just focusing on one part.
Exactly,
you,
yeah.
Kind of positive light and casting folk in a positive light to share their experiences, their culture, and build media around that as well. Media being, you know, how we inform our culture overwhelmingly at the moment.
Totally.
Yeah,
it's absolutely a really interesting point as well that you've said that so much of the content, particularly if you Google things, will just be someone trying to explain their experiences to people. And so there's that sense of, like, explaining the challenges, like, you know, the next step of moving forward and creating for the sake of creating and thinking about a future that we want and what we want our future to look like and how we define ourselves outside of difficulty and outside of suffering. I think that all sounds really exciting. I'm going to be asking you about some more of the projects you might already have in mind for the videos you're making, but that'll be coming up after this next song. Kira Peru, Molotov. So whose choice was this one?
This was my choice. I absolutely love this song. It's such a banger. So yeah, it was a must in our playlist.
Yeah, it just gets us going.
Yeah.
Excellent. Hopefully it'll get you all going too. So stay tuned. You're listening to Triple Bypass, the show that puts the B in LGBTIQA+, and this is Joy 94.9.
When I get a little bit loose, step aside. Step aside, boy. Get this whole party off. Watch me now. I'ma get this old pop.
Baseline. That was Molotov by Kira Peru. You're on Triple Bypass and Joy 94.9. And I'm Andrew.
I'm Ruby. And we have been chatting with Archie and Grace, the co-founders of Queertown, a new business they just started up, which is aiming to create an online media hub for Australian-focused LGBTIQA plus digital media. Now, during the break, we also got some messages, which is lovely. You can always get in touch with us at any time by emailing us at onair@joy.org.au or texting us on 0427569949. We had touched on before some of the gaps that are currently existing in representation for LGBTIQA plus media, and one of the things that was pointed out was the lack of representation for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander LGBTIQA plus Australians, and someone pointed out that there is currently an LGBT Aboriginal Australian art exhibit at Curie Heritage Trust by Peter Wapple Cook, which is called Inside Out. That's part of the Yoramoy Festival. So check that out. Get amongst it, folks. Thank you so much for messaging that in.
Mysterious and handsome stranger.
Yes. Thank you. That's really wonderful. So, yeah, definitely check that out. So that is, again, Inside Out, which is part of the Yoramoy Festival at the Curie Heritage Trust.
While we're speaking about events, there's something happening next Tuesday that one of our really special and wonderful individuals, someone in the studio.
So last week wasn't enough?
No, I'm just leaning in. Every time. I can make you blush.
I might be giving a free talk, sure. So you're going to have to do the show by yourself.
I am. It's scary, but it's going to be great. What are you talking about?
So I'll be speaking at Flemington Library. So Moonee Valley Libraries are putting on something for Ida Hobbit, and so it's at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday. I'll be talking about the history of Ida Hobbit Day, but also representation in media and pop culture, specifically looking at some of the laws that, much like, you know, Ida Hobbit Day is about recognising the day that homosexuality was taken off the global health register as a mental illness. And I think, so I'll be talking a bit about the other legacies that have existed in that, so far as, you know, the moral censorship laws that were around for a really long time and the effect they continue to have on our media and on how same-sex attracted stories are being told through particular tropes, particularly, of course, focusing on one of the more very well-known ones, bury your gays, which is that if there is a queer couple, someone's going to die.
But a place that won't bury your gays, that would be Queertown, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we don't bury our gays.
No,
we just lift them up.
We don't bury anyone.
Excellent. Lift us up. And
so, Archie, Grace, before we were talking before about how your project came about, because you've only recently gone and started at the beginning of this year, and you both came from wanting to work doing a... Grace, you had a production company you were starting up. Archie, you were setting up this media hub, and you both kind of met and realised you had a lot in common, and thus Queertown was birthed, or is being birthed now as you're doing an accelerator program.
Deep in labour?
Who knows? Maybe. So I suppose we're talking about what gaps you think there are in the media and also the importance of having these content. So what you mentioned you're making some videos. So what are some of the stories that you're focusing on telling in some of the first in the content you're making now?
Well, I'll start by talking about one of the first series that we're doing, which is an incredibly fun one. So we have this group of friends who, there's three of them, and they've grown up together. They've known each other for a million trillion years, and they...
The Eldritch Horrors?
Yes.
And they are hilarious because they've lived together for a while and they've been friends for so long. They talk about having a hive mind, like bees, where one of them can think of something and the other two just automatically know what's going on and all of that kind of stuff. And basically they all came out to each other as being bi, and it's like this great story of these, you know, three friends. So one of our first series is the Bi Hive.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Which is awesome. And it's... exploring their friendship and sort of how they identify and how the fact that they're all bi affects their friendship and all of that kind of thing. And they're hilarious and really fun and really gorgeous.
So can we get a trademark on the Bi Hive?
Yeah.
That's so good.
We have used that before on the show.
No! I thought that was like an OG Queertown name.
I thought it was their group name.
Well, I mean...
We'll sort it out.
We'll be in talks.
We'll see.
I think also Beyonce might get angry at us.
We'll see you all on court, yeah.
I wouldn't want to mess with her and her trademarks.
I think that's true. One day.
That sounds really lovely, because I definitely haven't thought often, you know, when you... Even when there is LGBTI inclusion in a lot of like mainstream media, there's like the one friend, like the one friend, and so it'll be. I think I definitely haven't seen shows that aren't. Well, I think Queer as Folk or the L Word too, but it's just about bi folks, kind of.
Yeah, and I feel like you were talking about earlier. You know, whether the bi community has a community and if they do have place and all of that kind of stuff. And I think I really resonated with the fact that it might not necessarily be a huge community. You might not have a place to go to. You might not have, you know, an event or a night or anything like that. But I do realise and recognise that I think a lot of bi people have really amazing bi friends. I feel like it's something that comes up a lot and there might be one or two or anything, but I feel like, I don't know, they just... naturally.
They just seek each other out.
They seek each other out.
The Wi-Fi signal.
Yeah. Maybe we're all part of the hive. I don't know.
I like that. I like that idea a lot. Well, I think there are kind of ideas of reoccurring themes that tend to come up in the bi plus community, specifically because we are usually a bit further behind when it comes to developing community, understanding the challenges that face us. So as we all kind of start to build, it tends to be happening around the world, or not around the world, sorry, but in a lot of places I've seen articles from. And at the same time, so as, for example, if I'm dealing with a particular next step happening in Melbourne in the bi community here, I'll then see an article about someone who's writing about the happening in London, that same sense of, oh, we all seem to be reaching the same point together and trying to look for the next point together, which I think also just points out that it's a very small community of us talking online.
Yeah.
Totally. And I think what's interesting is that it does make up such a big percentage of the LGBTIQA plus community. So how can we create more spaces, whether it's online or offline, for these, you know, for bi people to come together and, yeah, get to learn from each other and hang out and just have a bit of fun? Like, obviously we see in stats like the mental health issues in the bi community specifically are much higher than the rest of the community. So, you know, it's just goes to show that these spaces are even more vital, even more important. So let's just stop talking about it and create them, like this show, for example.
I think it's a really interesting point as well, because by seeing people who are bi and open and having fun with that, it's much easier for others who might still be struggling with that part of themselves to see it's a possibility.
Yeah.
And that it's a journey that they can go on and there is something to look forward to on the other end. You know, I think there are damaging tropes that affect our communities a lot in the media that we see. I think often we're still a bit behind when it comes to bi representation. It's getting a lot better. But, you know, for a long time, I remember growing up, my options were to be a serial killer or to be a porn star. And nothing wrong with being a porn star. It's just not my particular thing. But serial killer, probs not.
I don't know.
And like, we're talking about Buffalo Bill from Hannibal. Like, you know, it's like, you know, not even just like a serial killer light. Yeah. This was like a full-on, I want to... So I suppose you're kind of creating representation. Does any of it come from things that you both maybe wanted to see when you're growing up, or gaps that you've noticed... we talked about that before, like that particularly resonate with you, or things that you've realised as you've gotten older that you had missed out on, or that had maybe like that you had connected to or had projected onto. I know one of the jokes in bi plus circles is, you know, girls like looking at cartoons with like the female villains being like, why do I like these so much? I just think they're neat. It's cool. I'm straight.
Yeah.
The thing is, Hades in Hercules, Disney's Hercules, was absolutely someone I was crushing on.
Yeah.
But no, I just think he's neat. I emulate and aspire. Oh.
Well, I think the one I hear is like the lion from The Lion King 2.
I remember.
Everyone was like, that lion's hot. It's like, we're all turning into fairies. They've done it. Disney's done it.
But, why?
I mean, that's also the thing, of course, as well, with the fact that there's camp coding on villains, which is a whole other interesting... Because, you know, Scar is kind of like, almost like Rocky Horror, but as a lion. This is different. I mean... Sorry, are you making any lion-related content?
Not in production at the minute. We haven't got any lion-related content.
But give us some production momentum and we will make the queer
it's early
Disney.
Days. We will be queer Disney.
See, that sounds incredible.
Ooh.
On air, no pressure. This is just live radio.
Yeah, but I suppose, like, growing up it was... for me at least, the examples that I had of the queer community were quite extreme as well. And when I tried to find real people that weren't just like characters in a film, I would like be deep in the dark webs finding random people. Or like Jeffree Star, for example, who obviously for some people is a fave, for other people is incredibly problematic.
He's a problematic fave.
Fave. Who for me, I was like, oh, someone who dresses differently. They wear makeup. They don't. But I wasn't seeing just like everyday casual representation that I could like connect with. And I think the potential for us to kind of flood some of that digital media by just normalizing these experiences, these identities, so it doesn't have to feel like such a big deal, and that we can get past that identity fear so that we can just like get to know ourselves and get to know the types of friendships that we want to have. And, you know, it's such a big hurdle.
Absolutely. I think it's interesting, though, because, of course, that representation, the first steps of representation are always going to be narrow. So Will and Grace, for example, I have some of my gay male friends will say when they were growing up, they were saying, are you a Will or are you a Jack? Because those were the two gay men they knew. But for people who weren't gay, that was a huge insight into this community that they had no knowledge of. So do you think that people, like, so Queer Town is for and by queer folk, but do you think that non-queer people will also be able to have access to it or gain a lot from it?
Only if they show a respect. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, we definitely think there's space within Queertown for people outside of the community, but it has always been our focus from day one that this is for the community and we will do everything to make sure the community's needs are met. And then in terms of what other people get to it and whether they want to support and be part of Queertown and come to Queertown and absorb the content and all of that kind of stuff, they're more than welcome to. But it's for queer people, by queer people, because that kind of content isn't out there at the minute.
But it is interesting. We have had like quite a number of straight and cis people who, when they hear about Queertown, one of their first questions will be, so are you going to do content for us? Or so are you going to do content on how to be an ally? Or like, have you thought about straight people? And we're like, quite regularly, to be honest.
There are so You're many everywhere.
There are so many articles about how to be an ally.
Yes.
Yeah, like just so use many. Google.
So
just
many.
Just type it in, get some answers. And like, if you really can't work it out, then maybe,
I suppose with media, and I wonder if this has been everyone at the table's experience, I feel that when your representation is the norm, you don't have to do that work to learn how to relate to characters that aren't like you because you're everybody. Do you think maybe sometimes the reason that, endosex, so non-intersex, cis-stro people can be like, oh, am I being included in that? Because they're just like, well, how else will I be able to connect to it if it isn't exactly about my demographic? Because that's all I see that and I don't know how to relate to things outside of that.
And I think some people often think that because it's not about them or not for them that they can't enjoy it or can't enter that sort of space. And I think as long as you are acknowledging that maybe this is not targeted towards you and you're being respectful and you're there out of a genuine love of the content that we make or of the community and you are being an ally in that way, then, I mean, there's no reason why you can't join those sort of spaces.
I kind of feel like it might be time for typically white cishet men to start doing some of the labour on empathising with queer folk, with people of colour, with,
Of course, it's just a matter of what motivation is. And I think it's an interesting point, Grace, because when you were saying that, you know, they can have access to it, how do you generate interest? Because I think even within the queer community, people tend to find, you know, are quite interested in their own intersections and their own identities, and stepping outside of that, there's less of an interest or less of a motivation to do so. So is it a matter of creating content that is within one piece of content, quite intersectional, so people can go into it to find themselves and through that learn about other kinds of identities that might not be their own? Or is it about creating enough everybody and then also the pieces that kind of go, that build bridges between different parts of our community?
Yeah. Well, I think it's complex. I think if we're talking about people outside the community, then it's not so much on our radar and like, how can we connect with these people? How can we educate these people? Because as you say, that content is already out there. But in terms of people within the community, I think naturally by having intersectional diverse content, different people are going to connect with it in different ways. You may not have the same identity necessarily, but you're going to identify with their life experiences, which we think is really awesome. But I think an interesting part that we've seen of people perhaps outside the community is almost like a defensive reaction to not being included. And perhaps it does come from that idea of perhaps they haven't had many spaces where they weren't included, and suddenly it's not to say that we're excluding these people, but if they don't have a big shiny sign that says you're welcome here necessarily, they don't necessarily know how to respond to that space. So that's been interesting to navigate for us, to be like, this isn't an exclusive space, but it's not necessarily designed for you.
And that's okay.
And that's okay.
Yeah. We'll be wrapping up after this next song. Now, this coming up is Maribel, and it's a song called I'm a Mess Without You. Mm. I watched about half the video clip. It was really sexy.
Yeah. It's a sexy track. Mm-hmm. Maribel, this is a song about navigating queerness and sort of working out and identifying your queerness and just the journey of that, and it's a great song.
Fantastic.
We love it.
Yes. Well, you heard Grace. Don't change that dial. This is Joy 94.9. Coming up is Maribel's I'm a Mess With You. Without You. They'll be wrapping up here at Triple Bypass on Joy.
I'm a mess. Ooh, it don't really matter what I do. I'm a mess without you.
I think I'm what they call a lost cause, but baby, it ain't my fault. 'Cause you sunk your teeth deep in, and now I ain't sleeping. I'm a little codependent. Write a text and don't send it. I probably got a couple issues, trying to act like I don't need you. Ooh, feeling like I'm missing your connection. Ooh, I think I'm addicted to your affection. Baby, I'm about to lose it, and there's only one conclusion. I'm a mess. Ooh, it don't really matter what I do. I'm a mess without you. I'm a mess. I'm a mess. Ooh, it don't really matter what I do. I'm a mess without you. I'm a mess. Conversation, giving into my temptations. 'Cause I've been feeling stressed out. Need a little something to calm down.
Ooh, feeling like I'm missing your connection. Ooh, I think I'm addicted to your affection. Baby, I'm about to lose it, and there's only one conclusion. I'm a mess. I'm a mess. Ooh, it don't really matter what I do. I'm a mess without you. I'm a mess. I'm a mess. Ooh, it don't really matter what I do. I'm a mess without you. I don't wanna go on feeling this like this, babe. I don't think I've ever felt nothing like this. Nothing like this, babe. I don't wanna. I'm about to lose it, and there's only one conclusion. I'm a mess. I'm a mess. Ooh, it don't really matter what I do. I'm a mess without you. I'm a mess. I'm a mess. Ooh, it don't really matter what I do. I'm a mess without you. I'm a mess. I'm a mess.
That's right. This is Joy, and that was Maribel's I'm a Mess Without You. This is Triple Bypass. We're wrapping up another episode of the show that brings you the bisexual, pansexual, polysexual, queer agenda. And we'll be back, of course, next Tuesday. But we haven't finished just yet. My name's Ruby.
I'm Andrew.
We've been chatting with Grace and Archie about their project, Queer Town, which is a startup that is an online destination that is packed full of diverse, Australian-focused LGBTIQA+ digital media, including videos and podcasts and writing and artwork. And it's for and by the queer community. And you can find that at queertown.com.au. Mm-hmm. Yes, they're nodding. Thank you.
And during that song, which was just so lovely.
Such good music. Thank you so much for suggesting these songs.
Okay. So sultry. We're doing such sultry things at the moment. It's lovely.
Your voice is just leaking out into all of our content.
Oh, dear.
Leaky voice. During the break, we were discussing some new offerings that Queer Town is putting together in meat space, in the real world.
Yes.
Meat space.
Which was interesting because, like, before the break, we were talking about
working with the non-queer community as a queer-specific org. And what we've actually whipped up is some face-to-face workshops, which we're running in workplaces and councils and events on a range of topics, but particularly around LGBTIQA plus inclusion. So you're welcome to check out our offerings at queertown.com.au if you're at a workplace that you think could use some training. They've been put together by diverse queer people, and topics around supporting young people or gender transitions, or how to be an ally, things like that.
So just moving beyond the basics as well, so if workplaces can become more inclusive.
Mm. Yeah. So it's not so much a 101, but like a 301, 401 kind of a...
Totally.
Yeah. Fantastic. That's yeah. Really taking, exciting.
Taking from tolerance to celebration is the...
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Following
yes.
that Dorothy scale. Yes, correct.
Could you explain Dorothy scale?
Yeah, okay. So Dorothy Riddle was a researcher in the 80s and came up with a... list of words to kind of open up conversation around homophobia. And essentially she was saying that acceptance was the middle point, going essentially from like disgust or repulsion, I think was the first word, through to celebration. And I think there's like this conversation at the moment that we kind of sit around acceptance, and that's the goal within a workplace or a community, to accept people. But Dorothy was saying that's just not good enough. We need to get beyond that so that we're supporting, we're celebrating, which is definitely our goal at Queer Town, to celebrate people. And yeah, so that's our goal.
I think that's really interesting, because I think often the role of this kind of media, it sounds like, is, since it's for us, is also to help us celebrate ourselves. And
yeah.
I think we, and I know that, you know, as a bisexual person and as a non-binary person, often acceptance of myself is often about as far as I've seen, reflected, and I've felt. Mm. And we kind of can mistake that for the end of the journey, where it's like, well, I'm cool with this now.
Mm.
I don't actively hate it. That's fine.
Totally.
And at the beginning of the show, we were talking about why there's no bi plus community. And I think maybe as well, that factor of, I accept that I'm bisexual, but I'm not going to go out and show it off.
Yeah,
or I'm not
internalised biphobia.
And internalised transphobia, internalised queerphobia, internalised homophobia. I think as we've reached a point now in Australia, particularly where we're lucky enough to be able to be relatively safe and protected by laws, and have reached almost legal equality in a lot of different ways, with all these exceptions, including intersex surgeries, but that's the next step of how do we address how we view ourselves and how we actually learn to like ourselves and thrive in a world that has still not necessarily built themselves in a way that includes us in a lot of their depictions of happiness and love.
Yeah, so that's a big focus of us at Queer Town, is that we don't want to just make content that's educational or that's, you know, about your coming out story or all of that kind of stuff. We want to actually make content that reflects the fun and vibrant community that we're lucky enough to be a part of. We want Queer Town to be a celebration and a destination place where you can go and it's just as fun as going to the gay bar or going to your local queer meetup group or all of that kind of thing. It's a celebration of who you are and that you're a part of the community and all of that kind of stuff. So it's really about, you know, putting the fun back into sort of the queer digital media that's out there at the minute.
Yeah, and also rallying for our introverts out there, because for a lot of us, you know, like as Grace said, you know, we can definitely create spaces for people who want to have that more extroverted celebration at the gay bar, for example, but we also see the value in that meetup space or that book club or, you know, your online community. So how can we cater to...
And that's accessibility as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
That those spaces aren't always wheelchair accessible or friendly for people who are autistic or have ADHD or other neurodiversities. I think that's a really, really... And or who have cerebral palsy and can be mistaken for drunk. I think that's a really interesting point. Now, we are having to wrap up the show. Coming up next, of course, is A/N, a band that's going to be showcased on this week's episode of Homophonics, which is very exciting. But before that, since we're talking about celebration, could you both, in a few quick sound bites, give me some of the things that you about yourself and your own queer identity that you would like, that you are celebrating and that you're going to try and have people celebrate?
That's cool.
Well, we just had a drink before this, and we were kind of talking. And something that I was reflecting on was perhaps the ability for me to express myself and my gender more openly and more authentically publicly. And just, you know, it's a risk at times to do so, but maybe I'm going to do my best to take that risk and hopefully be celebrated for it.
And I'm celebrating at the minute through Queer Town, coming out to more and more people and being accepting and... Yeah, all that kind of stuff is a bit of a celebration.
You!
Yay!
Fantastic. So I love lovely. Your badge, too. It was first thing that...
Pronoun badges are so useful.
So fantastic. They, them. I love the typeface too. The whole design, the whole layout.
You're getting it. You enjoy the font.
I get overwhelmed by fonts sometimes.
Serif. I couldn't decide. Typical.
Some way you don't have to worry about fonts because someone's made the decision for you is on Facebook, Triple Bypass on Joy, Twitter, Triple Bypass, Instagram, Triple Bypass Joy, or email us at any time, triplebypass@joy.org.au.
That's right. We'll be back, of course, next week right here at Joy 94.9. And I'll be speaking at the Flemington Library at 6:30 p.m. We'll be posting the Queertown website on our socials, so check that out. Coming up is Homophonics. This has been Triple Bypass, and you're on Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.